weeks ago, we spoke on the subject stormy weather. Today's subject is very similar, and we will be repeating many of the same thoughts. But don't let that bother you, because education is repetition. Remember how you learned the alphabet? You didn't look at it the first time and say, I know it. I remember when my dad had me learn the alphabet. He said, Arthur, that is A. Now, when I come home, you ought to know A. And I learned all 26 in 26 days. And then he would skip around to make sure that I knew. So education is repetition. And when the scripture is read over and over, read it over and over. I think we have all been amazed sometimes. A brother reads a scripture and he expresses a thought, and you say to yourself, I've been reading that scripture all these years and that thought never occurred to me. Has that happened to you? Yes. So as we repeat some of these thoughts, we do well. Matthew chapter 14, please. Verse 22. And straightway, immediately, right away, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. That's our subject. Contrary winds. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And Jesus said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And then when they were come unto the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. May the Lord bless to us the reading of his precious, never-dying, holy word. The best book that we can read, the old Sunday school hymn, the best book to read is the Bible. And that's still true. Now, let us notice verse 22. Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him on the other side. He told them, get in the ship and go to the other side. Verse 24. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves. The wind was contrary. Now we could understand it if they were disobedient and the wind was contrary. But here are a group of disciples doing the will of the Lord and they're in trouble. How do you explain that? Has it happened to you? It has been pointed out that if you as a believer have no problems, no troubles, and no cares, maybe you're not a believer. Something is wrong. They are obedient to the Lord, and still they find themselves in trouble. Genesis chapter 40. And here I go again, turning to many scriptures. But as I have often said, it's the only way I know. Genesis chapter 40. Genesis chapter 40, verse 15. Now we know the story of Joseph, you remember? His brothers envied him. They planned to kill him. They decided to sell him. He was sold. He was in Potiphar's house. He behaved himself correctly before the Lord, and he was put in jail. Now, verse 15 of chapter 40, Joseph is speaking. Indeed, I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews. Here also have I done nothing that they should put me in the dungeon. How do you explain it? He hasn't done anything against God, and yet he finds himself in prison. He finds himself in trouble. Acts chapter 26. Obedient, and yet the winds are contrary. Acts chapter 26, verse 19. I might say I've enjoyed our brother's teaching from the book of the Acts. Acts 26, verse 19. Paul is speaking, telling Agrippa of his conversion. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. From the time of his conversion, Paul was not disobedient. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 11. Paul was obedient. He was not disobedient. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. Mark you, I'm repeating it. He didn't do anything contrary to the will of God. He was obedient. And now read verse 24 of chapter 11. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. 39 stripes, and he didn't do anything against the will of God. How do you explain it? Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine. And you read on. A man who is walking in the will of God, how do you explain these contrary winds? John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Verse 29. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me. Notice, please. I do always those things that please him. And how do you explain the cruelty and the suffering that he underwent? He was in the will of God. Joseph was in the will of God. Paul was in the will of God, and yet the winds were contrary. How do you explain it? What is the purpose of contrary winds? Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Walking in the will of God, and yet the winds are contrary. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. Thou shalt remember all the way the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to do what? To humble thee, to test thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments. He humbled thee, suffered thee the hunger, fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know. Why? That he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the Father. Verse 16. Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and prove thee. Why does God put us through these testings, even though we are walking in disobedience? That he might test us, that he might prove us. John chapter 15. Or better still, we defer that point. Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. Why does the Lord allow us to go through these testings? What is the purpose of these testings? Verse 2. When thou passest through the waters. Now, beloved, note how the Bible reads. It doesn't say into the waters, it says through. If you pass into the waters, you may not come out. But if you're passing through, you're bound to come out. And the Lord says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, not into the fire. Why does he pass us through the waters? For cleansing. Why does he pass us through the fire? For purifying. The story is told of a lady who was watching a silversmith. And this man was stirring and stirring, and the heat was coming up, and he was stirring and stirring. And she said, how do you know when to stop stirring? What do you think he said? When I can see my face perfectly reflected in the silver, it's time to stop. How about it? Hebrews chapter 12. When he could see his face perfectly reflected, it was time to stop. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 8. If you be without chastisement, chastening, discipline, you are illegitimate children. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh who chastened us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? They verily for a few days disciplined us after their own pleasure. But why does the Lord discipline us? For our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Why does he allow contrary winds, even though we are obedient? For our profit, that we might be more and more like our Heavenly Father. Now, coming back to Matthew, where was the Lord when these contrary winds were blowing? Where was the Lord? We read in verse 23, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. Now, when he was in that mountain, and they were down there with those contrary winds blowing, do you think he saw them? Do you think he saw them? We won't turn to it, but if you read in Mark chapter 6, we read here, he saw them. And beloved, in the midst of the troubles and the trials and the contrary winds, the Lord sees us. And he knows what's happening. First Peter chapter 5. He saw them. First Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Casting all your care upon him. Why? He cares for us. And as they were down there, in the midst of contrary winds, he was up in the mountain and he saw them. And he cared about them. And in the midst of the contrary winds, beloved, the Lord is in heaven, as we read in Hebrews, interceding for us. He sees and he knows what the problem is. Now come back, please, to Matthew. Chapter 14. Verse 28. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Next verse, the Lord said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to Jesus. He walked on the water to Jesus. He must have been looking at Jesus if he's walking to him. His eye was on Jesus. The storm is upsetting them, and the Lord is walking on the thing that's upsetting them. And all the problems that we face, beloved, he's on top of them, if I should so express it. But verse 30. Another of those buts of Scripture. Wherever you see but, stop. There's going to be a wonderful contrast. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried. While he walked on the water, looking at Jesus, he was walking on the water. But then he looked at the sea. Keep your eyes on Jesus and shine. Shine, shine. He was about to sink. Matthew chapter 6. What was Peter's trouble? Matthew chapter 6, verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, what does that mean? You read the commentaries and they all have something different to say. I'm going to give you what the Lord has given me. You know what a single eye is? An eye that has a single focus, looking at one thing. That's a single eye. Not like the chameleon. You know the chameleon? He can look out of the left eye and look out of the right eye and see both things at one time. Our eyes are to be single, a single focus on the Lord, though the winds may be contrary. Proverbs chapter 4, Isn't this a wonderful book with all these references and all these points to turn to? Proverbs chapter 4, verse 25. Let thine eyes look straight on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Verse 27. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left, nor remove thy foot, and remove thy foot from evil. Single eye, looking at one object. Why did Peter sink? Because he took his eyes off of Jesus. And in the midst of the contrary winds, in the midst of the storm, don't look at the storm. Keep our eyes on Jesus and shine, shine, shine. Because he took his eyes off of Jesus, he began to sink. Those of you that are interested in sports, and I don't know much about sports, but there is an expression, keep your eye on the ball. Single eye. Don't look at one or two things. Keep your eye on Jesus. Don't look at the storm. Don't look at the contrary winds. 1 Kings chapter 20, please. And verse 38. So the prophet departed and waited for the king by the way and disguised himself with ashes upon his face. And as the king passed by, he cried unto the king and said, thy servant went out into the midst of the battle, and behold, a man turned aside, brought a man unto me, and said, keep this man. That's what his order was. Keep this man. If by any means he be missing, then shall thy life be for his life, or else thou shalt pay a talent of silver. Keep this man. How are you going to keep him? You've got to watch him. I told you about the police officer that was supposed to be watching a prisoner and he fell asleep. And the sergeant came and said, who's keeping who? Who's watching who? Keep this man. Now, verse 40. As thy servant was busy here and there, the man was gone. He didn't have a single eye. Busy here and there. Oh, beloved, if we are to prosper amidst the difficulties in this world, we must have our eyes stayed upon Jehovah. Keeping our eyes on Jesus. Psalm 57. Psalm 57. Verse 17. Oh, pardon me. Verse 7. Psalm 57, verse 7. What does the psalmist say? My heart is fixed. One object. A single eye. A fixed heart. Psalm 108. Verse 1. Oh God, my heart is fixed. Psalm 112. 7. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed. And that is what we need, beloved, a fixed heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. You talk about storms. You remember when the Lord said, there shall be wars and rumors of wars. Is that true? Do you hear about any wars today? If you read the same papers that I do, there are plenty of wars going on. I think somebody has estimated that today there are at least 23 wars going on. Not skirmishes, genuine wars. Wars, rumors of wars. And those that are not yet fighting are planning to fight. They're angry with Iran because she's got some things there that she can use against them. You know what's interesting? Whenever you look at the news or the TV, and I do look at the TV, not for entertainment, I look at the TV in the light of the Word. And I am amazed at how the nations are building nuclear weapons. What are they building them for? What do you do with a nuclear weapon? Nuclear weapons are meant to kill. And they're building more and more nuclear weapons. All of the nations. They're angry with Iran because they think she has nuclear possibilities. They thought that Iraq had nuclear possibilities. They haven't determined them yet, but they're still suspicious. And they don't like North Korea because she admits that she has nuclear potential. What are all these nuclear things for? What do you think they're for? Now I'm going to give you my private interpretation. See, men are exploring space. And you read it in the Psalms, the Lord said, the heavens belong to me, man belongs on the earth. They're exploring space. You know what we read in Revelation 12 and 7? The armies of the Lord, led by Gabriel, fought against the armies of the Antichrist. Where did they fight? In heaven. And that's what I think all these arms are being prepared for. That big war in heaven. And who do you think is going to win? There's a song. I've read the end of the book. Have you read it? And we win. And my Lord, just with the sword of his mouth, is going to get rid of every enemy. But we go on. Keeping our eyes fixed and firm. Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. Don't look at the storm. Don't look at the contrary winds. Look at the Lord. Keep our eyes fixed on him. Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. Many of your Bibles say if. The better translation is since. Since you are risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your mind, your affection, your desire on things above. Don't waste your time worrying about these things that are going on down here. Set your mind on things above. And I want to tell you on the basis of personal experience, it'll calm you. It'll put your mind at rest when you think of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you think of the divine plan. Oh, you go to bed at night at ease. If the Lord should come I'm going with him. You don't have to worry. Matthew chapter 6, please. Verses 19 through 21. Set your affection on things above. Don't be disturbed by the bad news. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through. Lay up for yourself treasures where? In heaven. Don't pile up down here. You've heard the story of the little boy. His daddy said to him, you know, your uncle is a wealthy man. And when you go to his house and you get on the hill, as far as you can see, all around, everything belongs to your uncle. And this little boy visited his uncle. And his uncle took him to this hill. And the little boy said, my daddy told me that as far as I can see in any direction, it all belongs to you. And his uncle said proudly, yes, it's all mine. Then the smart little boy said, uncle, how much do you have up there? That's where it comes. Not down here. That's where it comes. Treasure in heaven. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Brethren, says Paul, I count not myself to have apprehended, to have seized the truth. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Oh, beloved, don't worry about the past. Forget the things that are behind. Reach forward unto the things which are before. The upward look. I press toward the mark for the prize of the upward calling. Keep your eyes looking. Onward still and upward. That's the direction that we are taking. Not looking at the contrary winds. And the problems of life. The upward look. 1 John chapter 2. 15. Love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. If a man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that is in the world. You want a definition of all that's in the world? Here it is. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the vain glory of life. That's all that's in this world, and that's all that anyone can get. Some people get all, most people get only one or two. The world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God, eyes on the Lord, abides forever. Luke chapter 17. Chapter 17, verse 32. Luke 17, verse 32. Does everybody have it? Remember Lot's wife. What did she do? What was her problem? Genesis chapter 19. Remember Lot's wife. Genesis chapter 19. Verse 26. His wife, Lot's wife, looked back and became a pillar of salt. Don't look back, beloved. Look forward, onward, still, and upward. Our eyes set on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not at the things around. Not at the troubles in the world. Set your eyes upon Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus and shine, shine, shine. Let nothing come between you and the Lord. Final thought. Again in Matthew. Verse 25. And we looked at this when we considered the troubled seas. 14 and 25. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them. The fourth watch, not the second. And you remember what we saw? The first watch, from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. The second watch, from 9 p.m. to midnight. The third watch, from midnight to 3 a.m. The fourth watch, from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. And the significant thing about the fourth watch is that that is when most people who do night work tend to fall asleep. That's when he came. In the fourth watch. Don't get tired, beloved. Stay awake. It's the fourth watch. But it's more than the fourth watch. 1 John chapter 2. It's the fourth watch, yes, the last watch. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 18. We looked at this before, but as I said, education is repetition. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Little children, it is the last hour. Some of your Bibles say time. It is the last hour of the last watch. Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Are you ready? He's coming. This is the last hour of the last watch. My Lord is on his way. Are we all ready? Go nowhere where you wouldn't want to be found when Jesus comes. I had an experience. I think I related it to you. New York City. Early in practice, 2 a.m., I received a phone call. Please come to such and such a place. Someone is sick. It was dangerous making house calls. That's why many doctors don't make them anymore. I said, I will have an ambulance come with you, for you. And the ambulances were all accompanied by police officers. Oh, no, we want you to come. This person works at the hospital, and you know her well. We don't want to take her to the hospital. I said, all right. You have somebody at the door there waiting for me when I come. And I went to this place, 2 a.m. And what do you think the entrance was? A bar and grill. Oh my. And I went in. They showed me the sick person. The place was filled with the odor of alcohol and smoke. And over this person was the little 2-watt light. I said, I can't work with that. You've got to get a bigger bulb in there. Thank the Lord, the problem was not difficult. And as I was leaving, I said, Lord, please don't come before I get out of here. Go no place where you would not want to be found when Jesus comes. He's coming. It's the last hour. Say nothing that you would not want to be heard saying when Jesus comes. Do nothing that you would not want to be found doing when Jesus comes. The last one. Read nothing that you would not want to be found reading when Jesus comes. And he should say to you, what are you reading? And you look back and close the book. Ashamed. We are to live in the light of the coming of the Lord with our eyes set on him. Let nothing between. Let me see. That hymn is in our book. Nothing between myself and the Savior. Yes, 405. Not of this world's delusive dream. I have renounced all sinful pleasure. Jesus is mine. There's nothing between. My eye is on him. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. So that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of his favor. Keep the way clear, beloved. Let nothing between yourself and the Lord Jesus Christ. On Jesus and shine, shine, shine. Holy Father, we bow in thy presence divine. We thank thee again for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for salvation. We thank thee that we are on our way to heaven. We thank thee that one day we are going to see thee. We thank thee that one day we are going to be like thee. Meanwhile, we are here. Amidst the storm, amidst the winds that are contrary, amidst the trials and the troubles. But, oh, may our eyes be set on thee, trusting thee, walking with thee, walking before thee, walking after thee. We thank thee again for the time that we spent in thy presence remembering the Lord and worshiping thee, our Father. We thank thee for the lesson in the Sunday school and the thoughts that we have just been gleaning. Dismiss us now, we pray thee, with thy richest blessing resting upon us as we give thee thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.